This morning's message comes from the epistle lesson as read. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, in the prayer your Son taught us, we are told, we say, lead us not into temptation. We know that you do not tempt, but Lord, temptation is everywhere. Help us in our effort to refrain from sin. Show us that way out that you talk about through your Apostle Paul, that each of us might bear under temptation and stand firm upon your word through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, many of us actually think in terms of, well, I'm going to sin today, so let it come. There is a story about a father who told his son, don't go swimming in the canal. The son said, okay, father. The next day, though, the son came home carrying a wet bathing suit, and the father asked him, what were you doing? I was swimming in the canal. Why did you swim in the canal when I told you not to? The son answered, well, the canal was there and I was tempted by it and I couldn't resist, so I went swimming. Why did you carry your swimsuit with you? Well, I carried it to be prepared in case the canal tempted me. You see, many of us think that way. Many of us think about temptation as something we can overcome, and yet we often don't prepare ourselves to face it. It's like a woman who was riding on a raft near the ocean shore, and it was a beautiful day, and she felt the waves slowly moving around her, and she was reading a book, and when she finally looked up, she was a half mile from shore, and she started crying out for help, but no one heard her. And finally, when the Coast Guard found her, she was 5 miles from where she started. You see, that's the way with temptation. We don't think about it, and suddenly, when we can't do anything about it, we find ourselves in sin. But Paul says, God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted greater than that which you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also show you a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now think about that. If we relied on God and God's Holy Spirit that is with us, if we relied on the Word of God that has been given to us, in which that Word is called to our attention through the Holy Spirit, when we face temptation, we would look for the way out. But not too many Christians think that way. Not too many Christians think, Holy Spirit, guide me at this point in time. In fact, we would say that temptation is far different than it was in the day of Paul. Matter of fact, it's far different than 50 or 60 years ago. Temptation is all around us, and the temptations are greater today than they were then. But what does Paul tell us in our text? He first says, don't be tempted by idols. Don't be idolaters, as some of the children of Israel were, At the time, they were at the bottom of Mount Sinai and built a golden calf to worship. We would say, well, you know, we don't worship idols today. Christians simply don't do that. Do we? Think about it. Think about the idols in our life. Think about anything we put in front of God and the work of God in our life through the Holy Spirit. We put money in front of God. We put possessions in front of God. We put position in front of God. We put a lot of things in front of God. In fact, we break that first commandment, don't we? By not honoring God with every part of our life. In fact, we are idolaters just as the Israelites were. We even call sports heroes or movie stars idols, do we not? And we look to them more often than we look to God. Well, some of us at least. And then Paul says, you know, don't fall into sexual immorality. Well, we don't do that, do we? But if we listen to Christ, who said, if you look upon a person of the opposite sex with lust in your heart, it's the same as adultery, then tell me, what we saw at the Oscars, what we see in Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, what we hear constantly on television, don't we dabble in the very thing? Aren't we tempted by the very thing that Paul says that we should avoid? Because even thinking about sexual immorality is sin. For don't we also say that we sin by thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone? Absolutely. And then he says, how about those who put God to the test? You shouldn't do that either. Do we ever put God to the test? Do we ever say to God, if you do this, I'll do that? Do we ever say, God, you know, I really need this, when it's really a want? And we seek something from God that God will deny us because he knows what it will do in our life. Or how about grumbling against God? How many of us, how many Christians for that matter, turn to God in times of trouble or fear or doubt or worry, and all of a sudden we say, why God? And we don't think about his understanding, his knowledge of our life. And we don't think about all his provisions for us in his grace and mercy and peace and joy and hope and salvation and forgiveness. We don't think about these things. Instead, we grumble against God, do we not? You see, it isn't any different today than it was in the time of Paul. We are bound to be tempted by all these things because it's always in front of us. We might grumble about other things, but we grumble about God allowing things to happen that we don't particularly care for. You know, Paul was right. But Paul also said, listen, when you are tempted by any of these things, or any other thing in this world that comes against you, that Satan and his demons will put before you, think about what God would have you do, or think about the Holy Spirit with you to show you the way out. Now I want you to think about that just a second, because in my own life I've experienced that I was faced with a temptation, and right there was a way out from that temptation. I didn't have to fall into sin. I could follow the way God was leading me by the Holy Spirit. But instead, since I have a sinful nature like all of us do, oftentimes I did fall into sin when I really didn't have to. Does that mean we can live without sin? No. But it does mean we ought to think about it more and follow the Holy Spirit more than we do. And the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. He recalls the Word of God to us so that we can see that way out, so that we can use that Word in our life, so we can not sin, but follow God and His will and His Word. Our life is more than a series of temptations. And our life as a Christian is more than being tempted day in and day out and falling into sin and then coming to church and confessing our sin. We are to live as God would have us live, to the best of our ability. And that means relying on God through the Holy Spirit to do what He says He will do in His Word. And in His Word, He says God will provide a way out, that you can stand under temptation, that you don't have to go into sin. Yes, temptation's all around us. And day after day, we are faced with one temptation after another temptation after another temptation. Whether it is lying or cheating or coveting or just grumbling. You know, we need to think more about God, more about who we are in this kingdom of grace that we live, more about what God has done for us and continually will do for us if we only look to Him for His guidance. Look to Him that we might live not free from sin, but live in the forgiveness of sins that we have through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is just as we said this morning, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, but the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That, my friends, is grace. That, my friends, is love. And we respond by loving God back. As Jesus said, I know you love me if you keep my commandments. And so it is with God the Father. And He has given us the tools we need to do that through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.